Most people know that Law Matters was created to open the lines of communication with law enforcement, as well as create educational opportunities so we can be better, more informed citizens. For the last several months, all the news stations have been promoting a negative mindset towards the entire law enforcement community. I agree that some of the recent events are beyond egregious. However, those events do not represent the vast majority of the brave men and women who risk their lives daily to keep the rest of us safe. I'm asking you to please, next time you see a member of law enforcement, show some appreciation and thank them for their service. Now, let's start the show. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have an Above and Beyond the Badge segment we're going to do, but before I introduce him, I want to tell everyone that we have an anonymous donor who will match your donations up to $500 between now and next Saturday. So if you want to go to the fundraiser event on the 20th of November, or just want to donate to our mission, going to lawmatters1030.org now would be a great time. And no donation is too small. This will double your money, and your support truly makes a difference. Our event on the 20th of November will be held in a private auto collection warehouse, about 80 cars in there, 80 or 90 cars. It's pretty amazing. And it's near 22nd and Keno. You will need a ticket to get in. And if you're thinking of going, please go to your go to our website and buy your tickets early, as there is a limited amount to go around. Now, we have an amazing story for our Above and Beyond the Badge segment. A listener from Kenosha, Wisconsin told me about this, and we wanted to invite him to share what happened with you. Mike, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you for listening, and tell our listeners what happened.
Well, on the 21st of this month, a gentleman from Chicago, first of all, he killed one person, and then he killed a second person, stole that person's car, and drove to Kenosha, Wisconsin, to a town known as Bristol, where the law enforcement area got a tip that this guy was coming. And so they had to use Riggs, who was the canine officer, and he was shot in the head, but he kept going after the suspect, and he has survived after being taken to a vet clinic in the suburb of Chicago. And but why I really called was that, you know, he unselfishly took the time to do this because he knew how he was trained. But the darndest thing is, there was very little mentioned of his service.
That's the way it goes sometimes, you know. And I was so taken with the story when you sent it to me, that we are honoring Riggs and the deputy, his handler, and we've already sent the award and his challenge coin and a dog toy to Kenosha. They should have it today. So
okay, good.
They'll have it today. And thank you. Thank you for letting us know about this, and we thank them for their service. And Riggs is one badass dog, you know?
No kidding. He was shot over one eye, and it went out the back of his head.
I saw the photo of him on, you know, his coming home ceremony.
Right. He acted like nothing happened.
Exactly. And they don't know if he'll be able to go back to work or not, but he's home with his handler.
Reports after a few weeks he may be able to, but I wonder about that with the extent of his injuries, if he will ever be able to go back to work.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out. So, Mike, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story. It was pretty remarkable.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Okay. In the studio, we have two people. We have Alvin Nelson, who's the third.
I am.
He's a second lieutenant with the Air Force, and we're going to be talking about the air show today. And we also have Davis Monthan Fire Chief Todd.
Good morning.
And I want to know everything that's going on over there. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of preparation going on. So before we get into that, Todd, tell us about you, your background, and why you're here in Tucson.
Okay, well, very good. Well, first and foremost, thank you very much for the opportunity, Sherry, to come on to the station and talk about the air show and the upcoming events this week and reaching out to the public. But my name is Todd Canoe. I started my fire service career in Southern California with California Department of Forestry in the late 80s.
Oh, cool.
So we did the wildland gig for a while, and then wanting to go ahead and expand for that and, you know, service to the community, opted to join the Air Force. So I joined the Air Force Reserve out of March Air Reserve Base back in 89. And the only open position in the reserves at the time was in at Davis-Monthan down in Tucson, Arizona. So I did the commute from Riverside area, actually Norco, to Tucson every month as a reservist, and did that as an airman basic, enlisted. And then, as we all know, back in August of 1990, Desert Shield kicked off, then subsequently Desert Storm afterwards. So They mobilized us from California to go to Nellis Air Force Base. So I served about 3 or 4 months at Nellis Air Force Base during Desert Shield. And then Davis-Monthan was tasked to deploy to theater. So they activated the reserves in January of 91. So then I was put on orders for 2 years over at Davis-Monthan. And that's where I started my military career, and which led to getting a civil service job. So still in the military, served 8 years enlisted, got out for a couple years, and then pursued my commission. And I was commissioned at March Air Reserve Base and living in Tucson. And I was commuting back and forth there for years. But since that time, I now work for First Air Force as the Arizona Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer for the state of Arizona.
The whole state?
The whole state, yes. Actually, Region 9. So we'll actually go to Nevada, Hawaii, California. We've been deployed on such things over the last couple of years for COVID. We were on the first flight at March when they brought the first Department of State brought the first plane in. So we were there for that. We were up last year for the August Fire Complex fire up in Sacramento, so we were working the command post for that. And then just recently back in D.C., work in Operation Allies Welcome and Allies Refuge. So we are all over the place, and we're essentially the go-between between the federal government and the DOD.
So do you go to Hawaii when the volcano erupts?
We have a presence in Hawaii. I don't go, but my counterpart for Hawaii would be there, yes.
I would make an excuse. He needs help.
Exactly. In my civilian capacity, I'm the fire chief at Davis-Monthan. I've been a DM for over 30 years, and I've been through most of the positions throughout the department all the way up to fire chief. And we got a civilian and military mixed department. We've got about 65 firefighters, 2 stations. We cover about 16 square miles, run about 800,000 calls a year. And
wow.
We have the exact same calls that you'll see in a city department. We've got an airport. We've got a shopping center. We've got housing. So the same kind of calls that you would see in a municipal department, we'll go ahead and experience those inside the gate as well. Coupled with that, we do also have agreements, mutual aid agreements with a lot of our local responders. So there are times when we would go off base if requested, and vice versa if we need assistance on the base too. Local departments would actually come on to help.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I always wondered about that. Do you guys cross paths?
Absolutely.
So, Alvin, tell us about you. How long have you been in the military, and why'd you join?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it's a nearly as exciting story as Chief Canale here. I've been in the Air Force for 1 year and 2 months.
Wow.
Yep, it has not been a long experience. This is my first duty station, first stop. I commissioned last year from Baylor University through ROTC. Okay. And how I joined the military is kind of a weird story. So my dad is retired Air Force. I was born in Okinawa, Japan.
Tell him thank you for your service.
Absolutely. So I was born in Okinawa, but then he retired. So I was born at the tail end of his military career, so I did not have the military brat experience.
So you're not a brat, thank God.
I would not consider myself one because I got... Austin. I got suburban Austin life, you know, American kid. So when I got the idea to join, I was in the Civil Air Patrol. So I was attached to the Air Force in that way. Mm-hmm. And then when it came time for college, I wanted a film degree. But convincing my parents that I could have a job when I came out of that was a bit of a harder hurdle to jump over. So the day of orientation, I decided, okay, I'm going to do ROTC just so that I can have, if film doesn't work out, I can have something to fall back on.
A backup.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it runs, the military service runs in my family. A bunch of my grandfathers, uncles, cousins have served in the military. We've got an entire
all
community.
In the Air Force? Are they scattered
for the most
around?
Part, mostly Air Force, some Army. And then I also have an uncle in law enforcement as well. So service just runs in our blood.
Where's your uncle in law enforcement? He doesn't know. He's cringing.
Ithaca, New York?
In New York?
Correct.
That's pretty intense.
It's way up there. It's really pretty up there, though.
It is beautiful. Beautiful up there. Okay, we want to talk about the air show because
yes.
That's coming up next week. It's finally here. How long has it been since we had the air show because of COVID?
So the last air show was in 2019, so, and then it was scheduled for this spring, but postponed until now.
Yeah, and everybody's wants to get out and enjoy what's going on. So tell us what we can do. How do they get into the air show? What entrances are going to be open?
Yeah, so the event is going to be open at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday and Sunday, November 6th and 7th. Only the Swan and Krakow gates are going to be used for airshow traffic.
Aircraft. Watch out.
You'll see aircraft on golf. No, Swan and Krakow gates. If you want to come to the air show, come in through those gates. It'll be open for airshow traffic that entire day. If you're not coming to the air show and you needed to get on base,
Good luck,
but use the North Wilmot Gate.
Okay, that's for people who actually can get on base.
Is only for people with the proper DOD ID access. If you have base access, and you should know if you have base access or not, use that gate.
Okay. And do they need an ID to get in? Like, I show an ID when I pull up to the gate.
Right. So for the days of the air show, for those entrances, the base is open to the public. So just come, be ready to park, be ready to walk. But just come because the base is open. We want to have you on.
Okay, and there'll be signs directing people where to park.
There will be people out there as well.
Yeah, you can't just park anywhere.
Oh no.
You'll get in trouble. Don't do that. And there's no speeding. Because if you speed on base, tell us what happens if you go speeding on base.
Well, we have a phenomenal security forces squadron, and they will be on it.
They come at you with a tank, chase you down.
Not nearly that exciting.
Okay. But don't speed. No drag racing.
Well,
don't be stupid.
If you're coming on for the air show, through the Swan and Krakow gates, we've got a traffic flow pattern that's set up to specifically direct everyone there to parking. If you come on base through those gates, you will not be able to access other areas of the base. You will be going to and from air show parking.
Okay. That's good because it's a big base. People can get lost.
It's a huge base. Yeah. Yes.
So what are people allowed to bring with them? This is...
Yeah.
Okay, he's looking it up. No.
I've got the notes right here. So if you want... If your listeners they can access the prohibited items list at dm.af.mil/airshow. But what is allowed, we do want you to bring some eye protection. If you're looking up at the sky all day in our sunny Tucson weather, we want you to have some sunglasses on so you can protect your eyes. We also want you to bring ear protection. You can get the little... orange nose plugs, or you can get some over your headphones, but protect your ears because it will be loud.
It is loud.
Yes. Bring your hats. Umbrellas are not allowed. Bring your sunscreen because you're out there in the sun. But if you want a list of those prohibited items, check out the website because all those details are there. It's an exhaustive list, but things like weaponry, knives, coolers are not allowed. Just leave all that stuff at home because there will be the opportunity to purchase food at the event.
Yeah, they want you to spend your money at the event. Don't bring all that homemade stuff. Okay, a lot of people in Arizona carry weapons just in their car, on their person. What do you tell them?
Leave that at home.
Leave it at home. Absolutely, leave it at home.
Do not carry on base.
You get in trouble.
Correct.
And you're talking about search and seizure. The military could have a whole arsenal of new weapons if you bring your weapons on base. They'll be owning it. So don't do that.
Leave your weapons at home.
Even pretend ones. Yes. So
leave them at home.
Yeah. And if you've got kids, and I saw this last time I was at the air show, little kids, parents have ear protection, little kids do not.
Mm-hmm.
Make me nuts. So if you've got kids, protect them.
Absolutely.
You know, just insane. So, I know it's been weeks and weeks and weeks building up to this. Is the stealth bomber going to be there? Do you know? They didn't tell you?
Not to my knowledge.
No? Darn it. That was so cool. I saw it once in my life.
But who is coming, if you want to talk about who is coming to the show, the Thunderbirds, they're coming back. They were here in 2019.
Yeah.
But the last time I saw the Thunderbirds, I was in Austin. This was last year during like peak quarantine period.
Mm-hmm.
They flew over Austin as a salute to the service workers.
And you waved?
They were just past my field of view, but I heard them. I felt that boom in my stomach.
I knew they were there.
I knew they were there. So now I can see them up close and personal, and everybody else who comes to the air show can as well.
That's awesome. Are they going to have that truck that makes the fire?
They will.
Okay, yes. What's it called?
Do you know what it's called?
I
don't know, but it's like this huge flame came out the back end of it, and it just went, it was like there and it was gone.
Yeah. And the list of performers, the full list of performers is on the website. So if people are interested, they can go check that out.
I should have brought that list. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, off the cuff, we've got the Thunderbirds. They're kind of our headliners. They're closing out the show on both days. Our very own A10 Thunderbolt Lightning demo. Oh my gosh. A10 Thunderbolt demo team. They're based here out of Davis Monthan. So they operate out of here. They've got their new paint scheme. And it's amazing. It's breathtaking when you're up
close and
personal.
Okay, is it the one that's on the flyer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And it's gorgeous. They just debuted that earlier this year. We also have the F-35 demo team that's coming. A number of World War II era warbirds are going to be here. Some Navy, it's the Navy Leapfrogs team. You'll see them jumping out of one of our C-130s. It's going to be phenomenal. It's
with
the strongest
parachutes,
air show
right?
Ever. With parachutes.
Cool.
With parachutes.
Cool. They want to know what the website is again.
So the website is dm.af.mil/airshow.
Okay. So if you get to that website, you'll be able to see the do's and don'ts and who's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And don't bring your food from home. Spend your money at the... Now, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Air Force get a portion of the things that are sold for, you know, future, like Christmas party, future stuff that's going to go on?
Honestly, that's a question that's above my pay grade. I'm not entirely sure of the answer to that, but I can find out for you.
Okay. I just wondered, it's, you know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Do they have to buy booze? Because you have vendors there.
There will be vendors there. I'm aware that there's a beer garden, and there's a list of sponsors on the website, but you got to come out if you want to. You want to take part in all the stuff that we have to offer.
That's true.
You got to come out.
How do you prepare for something like this, Todd?
So for the preparing for the air show, this is it's a mass effort. So we have folks on the base that are assigned as air boss, ground boss. So they handle all different components.
Air boss and ground boss?
Correct, for the air show. So if it has to do with the air, it goes under this lane. If it's ground operations, another one. So we've assigned... Our battalion chief, Chief Riley, is our point of contact for the fire department. He has done a superb job over the last year preparing for this air show, and he handles all the emergency response, everything from fire and emergency services. He's working the medical side as well as law enforcement. So he's a tip of the spear for the fire department in terms of setting everything up. And then, again, like I said, many, many months of preparation. We culminated on this week. We did a tabletop exercise with all the responders on the base.
A tabletop.
So we went actually to our emergency operations center, and then we ran through a myriad of different situations that could happen. And how would we respond? A number of our local responders were with us in that exercise, so we could have that crosstalk, so we could talk about capabilities and what we need to do to go ahead and, like I said, render aid in the event something were to happen.
For the worst case scenario.
Yes, ma'am.
But you have little scenarios, like somebody has heat stroke or... You know, somebody's cut and they're bleeding.
We do.
You respond to that too?
We do. And the med group on the base, they'll have a contingent also of responders. There'll be a hangar that's identified as people walk in with a big red cross on it. We're going to call it Med Main. And that's going to be the main facility for any kind of medical emergency you might have, any lost and found, that sort of thing. So it's going to be plainly marked so everyone can see it. And then we'll have a number of rovers, meaning Polaris side-by-side, UTVs, golf carts, that will actually be in the crowd as well. So if there's an issue, they can go ahead and flag them down. If there's any kind of heat emergency or environmental emergency, scuffed knee or something like that. We're looking at weather, roughly about 80, 81 degrees both days, sunny. So it should be fabulous weather for the air show.
Gorgeous.
But with that, as LT is saying, you know, watch the sunscreen, watch the sunglasses, the hearing protection, everything else. But we'll go ahead, and as you walk into the air show, you'll see the medical facility for that.
Okay. So you're right out there where the air show is taking place.
Right. Upon entry, as soon as you start walking to the actual air show and the exhibits, you'll see it's plainly marked, and you can't miss it.
Are you going to be there?
I will be at the air show, but I'll be all over the place. So I won't
be
in one location.
All over the place.
Yes.
Several years ago when we had the Super Bowl here in Arizona, I worked the Super Bowl, and afterwards I found out that there were probably as many security personnel as there were visitors. So just because you don't see somebody in uniform doesn't mean you're not being watched.
100%.
You will be watched.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. So here's the list of the following carry items are prohibited. You can't bring your cooler. Forget the cooler. Out alcohol. Forget that. Camelbacks, paint balloons, illegal drugs. Of course. Why would you take drugs onto an Air Force base? And that's a federal facility, so marijuana is not allowed.
Correct.
Okay. Just make that clear. Of any kind, large camera bags. What if you have a large camera?
If you have a large camera, hopefully you've checked in with our public affairs office. That's me. And we'll get you squared away.
Let's give everybody your cell number.
Absolutely not.
So bicycles, scooters, skateboards. Oh, and those shoes that have the skates built in, don't wear them.
Heelys, none of those.
Go-karts, what are RVs? RVs? Don't you have an RV park on base?
That's for, if you have base access, that's it's the fam camp. People, you know, can rent a spot and live there, but if you're coming to the air show, there's no RV parking available. Like if you were coming from, let's say you're coming from Wyoming, you brought your RV with you, there would be no place to park that on base for the air show.
So Uber's going to take you to the gate and then you're on your own.
Hopefully Uber wouldn't just leave you at the gate.
And it's about 4 miles that way.
Yeah.
What else is on here? Weapons, obviously. You have to be smart. Brass knuckles are considered a weapon. Mace, pepper spray, box cutters, nunchucks, firearms, knives, etc. So leave the etc. at home,
too. Exhaustive. Leave the etc. at home.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few. Yeah, I'm going to get to pets on the other side. Don't take that down.
This is Deputy Juke with Pima County Search and Rescue. Save your phone's battery life so when you get lost, we may contact you. Wearing bright colors that can be seen from a distance helps the effort. This is a rescue, not a scavenger hunt.
Saving lives means staying informed. Knowing the dangers of using counterfeit prescription pills can help those you care about and keep our community safe. As a parent, educator, neighbor, or friend, we all play a role in building safe and healthy futures for ourselves and our loved ones. Do your part. Take the first step today. Visit GetSmartAboutDrugs.com to access education, prevention, and treatment resources. Counterfeit prescription pills laced with fentanyl are deadly. Be their protector. Be informed. Visit GetSmartAboutDrugs.com.
Hi, this is Sherry asking you to tune in to Law Matters Live Show every Saturday morning at 8. On our next show, Department of Public Safety Commander of the 8th District, Captain Joshua Wilhelm, joins our conversation. Get your questions ready to call in at 790-2040. Please join us at the Law Matters Unique Fundraising Event on the 20th of November. More information and tickets at lawmatters1030.org. Law Matters Podcast can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Law Matters was created to open the lines of communication between law enforcement and you. 1030 in police code means excessive use or unauthorized use of the radio, something we do with each podcast posted to iTunes and Google Play. Hi, this is Rich Tracy inviting you to join our conversation and asking you to support our mission. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute. No amount is too small.
Thanks for staying with us. We're here today with Alvin. He's the second lieutenant with the Air Force, and with Fire Chief Todd. And we're talking about the air show, what to do, what not to do. And there's also another note on the website about pets. All pets are prohibited. Your turtle, your dog, your canary, doesn't matter. Leave it at home. And don't leave it in your car. You know, you're going to get in more trouble on the base if you leave a pet in the car than you would on the streets of Tucson, because they take it very seriously. And that happened at the last air show. Somebody left their pet in the car, and it was so bloody hot outside.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he got in big trouble. So, or she, I don't know who it was, but it was not a good scene. So leave your pets at home. And you can't have anybody on the other side of the flight line. So tell people what the flight line is. It's the line where you can't cross.
It's where it. All of our air operations take place. It's what we have at Davis-Monthan. It's the busiest single runway in the Air Force with all the missions that we have here at DM. So it's a very busy, very active flight line when you're out there for the air show. Part of the flight line, well, that's our, you know, air show area. That's where you can see all the static displays, everything we have to offer. But the runway, that's where all the action's happening. And on the runway and above the runway.
And you'll see a line on the runway that'll say, don't cross me.
Yes.
I mean, use your head. Although, did you see a couple of weeks ago the bicycle race and the person is out there with the camera taking a picture and everybody got hurt?
Yeah.
Don't do that, especially with airplanes. It's not a good idea. So how do you prepare for the worst case scenario, Todd?
Okay, thank you for that question. As we said, like I said, it takes about a year to prepare for this air show. And like I said, we culminate with an exercise. And what we do is we have our crash trucks, which we call them crash trucks, but these are the aircraft rescue firefighting vehicles that we have on the flight line next to the runway. Let's not confuse the flight line with the runway. So what they are pre-positioned. So the performers will be going about 10:30 in the morning, and they will be flying until about 4:30 when it culminates with the Thunderbirds when they land. So for 6 hours, we'll have air operations going nonstop. So during that 6 hours, our firefighters will be in their apparatus, fully dressed out in their personal protective equipment, with engines running. We are required to have agent, the water, on an incident if something were to happen within 60 seconds.
Is it water or is it foam?
It's the foam that would go ahead and put the fire out with. So it's water foam mixture.
Okay.
Yes, on the flight line. So we have three apparatus that are pre-positioned on the flight line. So south, north, and then over at show center. So quick response within 60 seconds. We'll actually be applying agent with a follow-on element to go ahead and do any kind of extrication that we might need to. In addition to that, we have our partners, both from the airport and the guard. They'll have apparatus at the facility as well, and we'll have a quick reaction force. So in the event something were to happen off base, we will be able to go ahead and dispatch a crash truck, a pumper or an engine, fire engine, which you typically see downtown, and a command and control element to marry up with our local responders off base, depending on where that aircraft possibly went down.
Okay. The National Guard, you're talking the Air National Guard or the Army National Guard?
The Air National Guard, the 162nd out of TIA. Yes.
Okay. So what about that base on Pinnell Air Base? Is what's it called?
That's
up there?
The Silver Barrel Heliport. So it's Army, that's the Army Guard.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Didn't know.
We are partners with them as well, so we would be in communication in the event something were to happen in the far northwest side of Pima County, you know, southwest corner of Pinal County, so we can actually
work with them. Yeah, because this doesn't happen just above your head. This happens
correct
in a large area.
Right.
Okay, are you in that same stance when they're practicing?
Correct. Anytime they're up and doing any kind of aerobatic maneuvers, we will be in that posture. So on Friday when they're practicing, we'll be out there, and then both Saturday and Sunday.
And when the Heritage flight comes in, you're doing the same thing.
Exact same thing. And every March, Davis-Monthan plays host to the Heritage Conference to go ahead and get all these aircraft signed off to do these air shows. So we're in the same posture, albeit not with 50 to 100,000 people on the ground. So, but in terms of standing by for any kind of aerobatic maneuvers, we're out there.
So how do you train your people on base? Is there a special training for that, or is it what you're trained to do, period?
We do all of our firefighters. They are certified internationally for airport firefighting and for that kind of support. And we have a regional training site on the facility itself. And we train with about 20 different departments throughout Pima County and Arizona. And they come out in everything from aircraft firefighting to structural firefighting, technical rescue, and everything else. So we have a great relationship with a lot of our emergency responders throughout the county. So we will go ahead and we'll train. We have three mock-ups that are propane with helicopters,
what
cars.
What does that mean?
It means we, for the fire, we can actually exhibit the fire, or we can simulate the fire with actually propane, have a real fire. And we also have a live Jet A regular fire that we would burn off-spec fuel with. We have not been using that in the last couple of years, but we would train our firefighters using actual fuel for the fires as well. But for right now, we are using propane to go ahead and simulate that kind of fire.
To put the fires out, do you use, like, the Forest Preserve uses a plane that goes over and it dumps that fire retardant? Do you do that for this type of a scenario?
Our trucks range anywhere from 500 to 3,000 gallons, 3,300 gallons of water in them. And these are the big crash trucks that are used for the flight line. So they have turret operations that they'll go ahead and dispense that agent.
So they don't have to fly over and dump it?
No.
But you could if you wanted to.
We don't have that capability on the installations.
Okay. Just wondering. So when you have all these people coming in, like the Heritage Flight people, you said they get certified internationally. Do you periodically train internationally? Do you go to their school or their fire department or their Air Force base and train there too to get to know the areas?
So two different things. When I say internationally, that is our international credential that our firefighters get for their training.
Okay.
Not part of the Heritage Conference. So the Heritage Conference, you have all the heritage birds, the warbirds coming in. So we have what we call pre-fire plans for each of those aircraft. Tells us how to shut them down, how to get in.
Each one's different.
Each one's different. And then what we'll actually do is we'll sit down with the aircraft commander prior to the show starting, and we'll get a full walkthrough of that aircraft prior to them flying.
So you get a private air show.
Essentially, yes.
So the people that are flying these heritage planes, are they military personnel or are they civilians?
Is there a civilian? It's a civilian entity, but I think it's supported by the military. But LT, if you can elaborate.
There's Air Force Heritage Flight Foundation, and they're composed of it's former military, and then a lot of, there are also pilots here that are not military and have had no previous military affiliation, but they fly these planes. They're aviators, so they participate in that way.
And are they responsible for the plane they fly? Do they own that plane? Because, you know, I'm thinking maintenance, upkeep, it's expensive.
The aircraft are privately owned. Whether or not the pilot owns that particular aircraft, I can't answer that. But I know a lot of those warbirds are privately owned, yes.
Okay. That's pretty intense. So did you call him LT?
I did.
There's that military lingo right there.
I know. I'm hearing a lot of military lingo. You said something about the theater before, and I'm like, okay. I know the theater. I only know that because my dad was in the Marine Corps, and he fought in the Pacific Theater. So explain to people what the theater means when you say they're deployed to the theater.
Do you want me to take that?
Please.
Theater of operations. So, for example, in the Indo-Pacific Theater, like I said, what you're talking about for, you know, we call it PACAP in the Air Force, Pacific Air Forces. We might call it Southcom, Southern Command. Those would be down south of the United States, for example. That's a particular theater. Central Command, that's going to be just different areas or different theaters that we would go ahead and deploy to if we need to go ahead and support. So just different theater of operations where we do our business.
Do you know if Davis-Monthan was part of the evacuation process for Afghanistan? I don't know if they were.
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that. So, as I was watching, you know, we had somebody in here a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I was watching that, and all these people are hanging on the plane. Did they take off? I mean, with all these people, I mean, get them off the plane. Apparently, they took off. They had no choice. But anyway, I want to get back to the air show. What things can people anticipate if there is an issue, somebody has a problem, their kid's not doing well, whatever? Where can they go? Who do they look for help? Are you going to have people in uniform?
Well, our military members will be in uniform, yes. So you should be able to ask any of them, and they'll be able to go ahead and direct to where you should be taken or to find your children. And the Lost and Found, I believe, is going to be set up at that Med Main with that big Red Cross on the flight line.
So if you lost your kid, that's where you go.
Or if the kids lost their parents, right? But another thing to talk about, especially if there is, we're talking about worst case scenario, we do have an incident, please, what we'll do is we will work with show center, and we have a PA system, and they'll be given the crowd direction at that point. So they might be saying, hey, please stay put and just listen to what the narrator will be telling you. We don't want people going towards an accident site, for example. We're going to have very large response apparatus trying to navigate, so we've got to make sure we have access through those areas, so we don't want people running in front of the vehicles and so forth. So please, if something does happen,
or running out and blocking people, just stay where you are.
Right, the best course of action might be staying put where you're at, but that's going to be relayed over the public address system, so please listen for that in the event something were to happen.
Yeah, that's good to know, because sometimes it's hard to hear the PA system, so you're going to really have to pay attention.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Pay attention. But you want to in this scenario anyway. You've got a lot of aircraft, a lot of people going back and forth and trucks, so you're going to want to pay attention to what's going on.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Unlike driving around in Tucson where people are not paying attention, running red lights, doing all kinds of crazy things. Drag racing, we don't want that. Yeah, and you don't want to do that on base. Trust me. It would be bad scene. So what happens after the air show? How do people get out?
So
for hours and hours.
Yeah, so at the end of the Thunderbirds performance, we're going to go back to the cars. The same flow of traffic out of base as it is on. You're going out through the Swan Gate or the Craycroft Gate. And in that mass, you know, line of traffic, you won't be able to get lost. You should not have any confusion about how to get off base, because everyone else will be heading in the same direction.
And don't try to take a shortcut.
No shortcuts.
Because you'll get in trouble.
We'll find you.
They will find you. Yeah.
And correct. And also just for FYI, for your information, inbound gates will be closing at 1500 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you're planning on watching the Thunderbirds from the base side, just make sure you're on the installation before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because at 3 o'clock, then we'll reverse the lanes for the outgoing traffic.
Okay, good. And both lanes are going to be going out?
We're going to reserve that flexibility to do that. We're not sure. You'll have to work with the security forces to determine that.
Okay. All right. So I want to hear more about your background.
Okay.
Yeah. Why did you join ROTC? Why did you get involved with the military?
Well, I wanted to do film, and that was my major of choice. That's what my degree is in film. But I didn't really know if there were any opportunities for me in the Air Force regarding film.
What did you get your degree in?
My degree is in film.
So is the Air Force taking advantage of that?
Yes. So I'm a...
See?
It took me having to talk to some alumni that we had come and visit us at the detachment. We had, he was the commander of Air Force Reserve Public Affairs. And he talked to me about public affairs. Hey, you're in film. This is a communication-focused degree path. My minor is also in corporate communication, so communication in general. This is an important aspect of telling the Air Force's story. There is space for you here. So that became my primary motivator. I want to join. I want to be a public affairs officer.
So how many films have you produced?
I've produced a music video.
Oh, cool.
I've produced a short film. Wait, two short films.
Two short films.
Yep.
And have they been submitted to like any...
Yes.
Yeah.
The music video. So I wrote and produced a music video for a local band in Waco. That's where I went to school. And it won gold at the World Fest Houston International Film Festival, which is the same film festival that Steven Spielberg got his start at.
Very cool.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That music video will never be released, but it won. It won.
Really?
Yes.
Good for you. Why don't you release it on social media?
The band is, well, the music video, who does it belong to is, you know, up in the air because it was a university production for a local band and their song. So that's its own whole legal thing. Also, the video doesn't really represent where the band is now. And we filmed it 3 years ago, so it's not going anywhere.
So do you plan on staying in the military for life? Here's your commander's listening. You're committing.
I'm staying in for as long as I like it, which I do.
What a weenie answer.
I mean, no, seriously, because I enjoy my job. I really do. And this is what I wanted to do. Public affairs is exactly what I wanted to do. So
are you going to be filming out at the... air show?
So I won't be filming. We have some amazing broadcast journalist airmen who are going to be doing that. I'm going to be working with the media who are coming on base to capture the air show. We're doing a lot of interviews and, you know, events on base to interview some of the pilots that are performing. So I'll be facilitating that next week.
So do you know any of the pilots that, you know, are there any famous pilots coming to the show?
I mean, the Thunderbirds are coming.
Well, I mean, individual pilots. Do you know any? No?
No,
I don't. Is this a thank you for your question moment?
I'm just trying to think. Like, any... I don't...
You don't know
the pilots that are coming
name.
Are awesome.
Yeah, they are. I don't, I've seen them.
You know, as far... I'm in public affairs, so all pilots, you know... Oh, right. Wow, you're a pilot. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's all cool to me.
It's all cool to me. I think you should be filming out there. I think you should get the camera out and just, you know...
See, I'm doing with the producing
video,
not the filming.
Okay, do a music video to what they're doing and edit it and do a music to the flights.
I'm sure somebody will do that. Somebody who's coming out. That's
now that I just suggested it.
Yeah. See, you got to keep that. You got to keep that off air, Sherry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't listen to this. So no, I'm serious. I think what you have to offer is amazing. And this is something I try to tell people when they're talking about the military career. They need everybody. They're not everybody who's in even in the federal agencies, not everybody's a special agent. They need everybody. They need accountants. They need communications people. They need everybody. So get your degree because that's smart and then join the military. Or join the military and let them pay for your degree. That's even smarter. So what's your degree in?
Undergraduate's in business, and the graduate degree is in fire service administration. I know you're shocked.
I am. I'm stunned. Where did you get your degrees?
I went to University of Phoenix for undergraduate, but then ASU for my graduate degree.
Oh, you're one of those. That's okay. We still like you. We won't hold it against you, Todd, until after the air show.
There you go.
We need you until then. So how long ago was that?
The degree?
Yeah. Did you get it while you were in the service? So
absolutely, yeah. Yeah. The best bet, again, like you said, the Air Force, the military as a whole has so many benefits for our airmen that take advantage of it. So they've paid for my graduate degree.
Do you have to do continuing ed? I have to. continuing education you have every year?
We do. For our emergency medical technicians, there's requirements every year to be doing their what we call CEUs to get that training done. So, we have continuing education. We are required by the Air Force. There's about 11,000 firefighters in the Air Force. So we're about the third largest fire department in the world.
Wow.
So we think about it. We think of Davis-Monthan. Davis-Monthan has two stations, but we have departments all over the world. So there's about 11,000 of us. And then we have mandated training that we're required X amount of hours in each category to go ahead and stay proficient in those skills.
Are you an EMT too?
I am.
Okay. See, the FBI has the largest SWAT team. You have the largest firefighting unit in the world. In the world?
No, I think
in the country.
I think we're the third largest in the world.
Who's the first?
It's going to be. I believe it's Tokyo is going to be the first, and then New York is the second. I believe at last count.
Do you want to transfer over to the fire department?
Not particularly.
We need to build up some numbers here. So, recruiting. Let's recruit some people. Let's start with the fire department. Any fire department, right?
Any fire department, yes. Like I said, we're all the fire departments, like I said, same boat. We have a lot of the same qualifications. Get your EMT knocked out. There's some departments that are running what we call green academies, where they offer the EMT in the academy to go ahead and bring folks on board. But as a rule, I also teach at Pima Community College, and we teach the fire science program there as well.
You teach?
I do.
I did not know that.
Yes. So you can get an associate's degree at Pima Community College.
Yeah.
And they also have a fire academy at Pima College. You get your fire 1 and 2.
When did they start that?
Many, many years ago.
Okay.
So I've been teaching with them for over 20 years. I know. So that's a good way also to go ahead and dress up your resume, get your fire 1, 2 out of the way, get your EMT.
Why is it called green?
Because it's basically coming in off the street into the fire service.
Oh, you're green.
So,
okay, a newbie.
That's it's more jargon than anything, and they offer all the classes that a candidate would need to get to that level to be on the trucks within 6 months or how long the academy takes. Every department's a little bit different.
Are they hiring? I mean, do you hire off like somebody goes to this academy and they're certified now? Can you hire them?
All of our hiring is done through the Air Force Personnel Center. So our firefighters, our academy is in San Angelo, Texas.
Okay.
Goodfellow Air Force Base.
So you have to be a
military member.
A military member to work for you.
Correct. We have a number of civilian firefighters, but most of those civilian firefighters throughout the Air Force have had background in the Air Force.
Okay.
Already. They get the certifications and the credentials for the hiring process. So what we'll do is we'll send our young airmen to basic military training at Lackland Air Force Base. That's our BMT, basic military training. And I think that's 8 or 9 weeks now, if I'm not mistaken. And then from there, they'll send them to San Angelo, which is Goodfellow Air Force Base. And that is almost 4 months, Fire Academy. And through that rigorous program, they'll go ahead and get their Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2 credential. And that's an international certification through the International Fire Service Accreditation Congress. So that lets everyone know on the world stage that I have met these requirements to this level. They'll get their EMR, which is Emergency Medical Responder, through the National Registry. And then they'll also get the airport firefighting and a number of other certifications.
Okay. In order to get all these certifications, they have to do physical activities plus written exams.
100%. Right. And then it's third-party certification. So if I train you, then another person will come in or another entity will come in to go ahead and certify you.
And see if you know what you're doing.
That's correct.
Have you ever been a hotshot?
I have not. I worked for CDF, California Department of Forestry, back in the 80s. But most of our stuff was done, like I said, we were on what they call a Type 1 engine, which was a big fire engine that very rarely left the pavement. So when we were called to task, we would be protecting exposures and so forth. But a lot of my colleagues would be on different types of engines, and they would actually go into the
off-road.
Exactly.
So there's a big difference between working a forest fire and being a fireman in the city. So what's the main difference other than the buildings?
The basics are the same as how do we put a fire out. So that is the same across the board, but you're 100% correct. It's going to be a lot different in terms of the tactics that you employ for a wildland fire versus a structural fire. So one thing, for example, you may not have water for a wildland fire. Yeah. You don't have that access. So a lot of
airplanes.
The work, bring in the airplanes, which are very expensive and very, very dangerous. But you also have what they call defensive operations, where I'll actually try to remove the fuel from the fire by, say, cutting lines. When I say cutting a line, bring a bulldozer in, or you're doing it by with hand tools to create a situation where that fire will just burn itself out. Or, like we saw with the Bighorn fire, that we might actually be doing like backburn operations. We'll actually burn part of the fuel in a controlled environment so that fire that's raging towards us will actually burn out because there's no other fuel to burn. So you're just employing different kind of tactics to go ahead and fight the fire.
And there's different training for both of them.
Absolutely, yes.
So if you were going to be a fireman in the city, how long would you have to train?
I think their academies, and every city is different as far as how long their academies. They can be anywhere from a couple months all the way to 6 months for that training, depending on what they need. And a lot of your city departments or municipal departments do have wildland crews that will actually go out for a couple weeks at a time. So they can take an engine and a cruise to Montana, to California, where have you, for a couple weeks and fight that fire and then come back.
And is that considered training and experience for them? Do they put that on their resume that, I went from here to here? Is it?
Well, they're trained to be able to do that. They have to be trained and certified to even go.
Okay.
But in terms of experience, absolutely. That's just an added experience every time you go.
Because I know during fire season, I mean, they're going all over the place.
Right.
Firefighters are just everywhere from this state to that state, and they kind of work together regardless of where they're from.
Right. And like it's getting worse. Like this year, we were at priority level 4 in the early goings, which is 1 to 5 is the level. So that high, that early, we're mobilizing folks everywhere. This was the first year that we actually employed all of our mobile aircraft firefighting system. So the Air Guard has their C-130 aircraft, but they actually have modules that go in the back, which will dump the slurry on the fires. So that's an actual Air Guard asset that was employed throughout the country also. And they were tapped the first time in years, 100%. I was last year at the August complex up in Northern California. So we're moving people all over the place all the time. And I don't see any relief in sight in the near future.
As a closing agent, I went to the fire here that we had in Pinal County, mm-hmm. I think it was, to do some signings for a firefighter. And he came off the line. He looked like he had been through it. And we sat down and signed some papers, and he had to go right back.
All the respect in the world for those guys. They do a wonderful, wonderful job in such a dangerous occupation.
Absolutely. Just crazy, though. I mean, it's like, my God.
Yeah.
So that's not selling the job, is it? Telling him, oh, my God, he looked terrible.
You're serving a larger cause. Like I said, you're something bigger than yourself. You're supporting your community. And let's not forget the families that also support their firefighters when they're out there as well, because they could be gone for a couple weeks at a time.
The one thing that he said to me is they had people that were prisoners working the fire line. Do you have prisoners working for you, Todd?
Not for me, no. But when I was a CDF, we would have the prison crews out for all of our fires.
And they work just as hard as anybody
else.
Do they have to be certified and trained? And obviously.
Yep.
So they did something naughty, but yet they can go fight a fire.
Yes.
Good. Very cool. What do you tell people about joining the military? You've got 2 minutes.
All right. So I joined through ROTC, so through my college.
But why did you join? What was your motive?
My dad did it. And I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to have this amazing, military experience as well.
Where have you gone so far?
Tucson.
From Texas? Is your dad listening by any chance?
Probably not.
Okay.
I told them about this right before I came online. But he served in Germany and the Azores in Japan. My parents spent the first 12 years of their marriage overseas. So I want to go and experience other cultures because learning about other cultures just excites me. Tucson is a different culture than Texas. I've learned a lot here.
Do they have a military need at the Cannes Film Festival?
I don't think so. But, proximity. And there's no harm in talking to a recruiter. There are recruiters here in Tucson. There's nothing wrong with asking the question. Just find out some answers if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what you want to get your degree in. There's always place for you in civil service.
Absolutely.
Whether it's law enforcement or the military. They don't just hire people that carry guns. So I want to thank both of you for coming on and telling us about the air show and what to do and not to do. It's more important not to do and make your job a little easier, hopefully. And, oh, that's the air show website. Sorry. Say it real quick.
One more time. dm.af.amil/airshow.
And it'll tell you everything you need to know. Until next week, shop local, stay safe. Hi, this is Sherry asking you to tune into Law Matters Live Show every Saturday morning at 8. On our next show, Department of Public Safety Commander of the 8th District, Captain Joshua Wilhelm, joins our conversation. Get your questions ready to call in at 790-2040. Please join us at the Law Matters Unique Fundraising Event on the 20th of November. More information and tickets at lawmatters1030.org. Law Matters Podcast can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.
This is CBS News on...